I would like to give you a little summary of that process. It really started with stepping back from the business busyness of your life, the constant attack of the 1,000 urgent things which have the magic of stealing our time and attention. So this is how it started. You need to step back and make an intention or formulate an intention, a conscious intention to change. You can do so by a very simple observation. You can ask yourself if during the life which you presently live, whether or not you are really obtaining the transcendental results you wish. Hare Krishna. Is this Shruti Kir? Wonderful! My brother of the dust.
Super Soul Maharaj, I didn't even know you were here. You were just coming to take darshan.
Oh, this is extremely... Thank you.
We are very special, have a brotherhood.
We were very special, a very transcendental brotherhood. So, you allow me to continue. Otherwise, we will just relish our transcendental relationship right here before everyone another time. By going through our life the way we presently live it and asking ourselves the question if we really give enough time to Krishna and the development of Krishna consciousness, a thoughtful person arrives at the conclusion, there is something which I still can change so that the direction of my life goes into the brings me to the desired goal of love of Godhead and Krishna consciousness. So this intention gives rise to thinking about the small steps in your life which you can which you can do, and as you are trying to change your life, then Krishna or his pure devotee will immediately step in your life. Krishna sends always his pure devotee at the moment when a devotee wakes up and wants to progress. And I made a wonderful experience yesterday after giving this class. I thought to myself, okay, Satchidananda Swami, what can you, how look at your life? Is it the way you wish it? And I could find out, well, I wish to have much more opportunity to remember Krishna personally. So this morning, a miracle happened. On our computer appeared for a very brief moment in time a film about Prabhupada, which was just so heart-touching. What was the title? Hare Krishna, the movement, the mantra, and the Swami who started it all. And there were wonderful excerpts of Srila Prabhupada lecturing. But for me, who had made an intention to really move forward in my spiritual life, these were not just words which came out of the loudspeaker, words from my spiritual master. No, they were concentrated divine energy which came and lifted my life up. I felt that Prabhupada had sent a lift, which took me from platform 1 to to platform two. It was really wonderful. And this is what happens. The moment a devotee sincerely makes the intention to move forward in his spiritual life, Krishna either comes personally or he sends his devotee. There's a beautiful story in this connection from ancient India. There was a group of pilgrims making the difficult path to Badrinath. And around Devaprayag, one of them became so sick with a severe case of diarrhea. Is it called diarrhea? Diarrhea, yeah, not diarrhea. Diarrhea. Oof. That the rest of the group had to leave him in the forest. This man was really dying. They left all the provisions which they could spare, but this man used them all up without becoming better. He just, whatever he put in, came in double portion out on the other end of the body. So at that time, when he was almost dying, this man tells the story like this. I was lying in a cave in the jungle. I had used up the provision which the other pilgrims could save without endangering their own lives. It was in the old time where people walked by foot. I'd used it up, and I already I said goodbye to the world. I prayed to the Lord to forgive me. I said goodbye in my mind to my wife and my children, and I was ready to die when all of a sudden a sadhu came, and the sadhu brought rice to me and bananas and yogurt, and he gave a medicine. He said, you take this and your disease will stop. Now, every day for 2 weeks he came and he gave me this medicine and then rice, bananas and yogurt. And after 2 weeks I was strong again. Then the sadhu said, I'm now leaving you, but I had an idea. So I grabbed him and said, who are you? I am here in this cave, far away from the path. I was ready to die, and you came. How did you know that I'm here? The sadhu said, somehow I knew. But as he spoke, I had a feeling that he is someone special. And finally, the sadhu did not tolerate my questions any longer. He struggled from my grip and he went away into the forest. I never saw him again, only one time, and that was in my dream. At that time, the sadhu came to me, and as I looked at him, he turned into the beautiful form of Krishna. And he said to me, I usually send my devotees. They come at a time when a devotee is in great, great need. But if it happens that there is no devotee available for this activity, I come myself and take care of those who need me. I have promised this in the Bhagavad Gita. I have said I personally carry what my devotee lacks and I maintain what he needs. But only after 50 years may you talk about it. I will not appear to you in this lifetime again. Hare Krishna, and the Lord disappeared. We have examples of the Lord appearing personally to Madhavendra Puri. You remember when there was the when he had completed his Govardhan Parikrama, and he had not gone out to beg for food. At that time, a little boy came who identified himself as belonging to the village Anyor, and he had come and given him milk and said, "In the evening, Madhavendra Puri, I will return again, and I will collect the container in which I brought the milk." But he did not return in the evening. Instead, he appeared in the dream in the early morning and said, "It's me, Gopal. I have come personally to give you this milk, and I have service for you. I am here under the bush, and you on the Govardhan, and I'm so long here, and I'm so hungry. I want to be worshipped by you, and I want to be fed by you. Here, I and identify the exact place. In the morning, go with some villagers and take me out of the earth and worship me, Krishna." This is Krishna. He mostly sends devotees to our help, but sometimes when no devotee is available or he wants to do something out of the order, then he comes personally, Krishna. And I could see this today. Actually, I had given this lecture, The Art of Transformation, yesterday, and I took my own words to my heart, and I could see how immediately Krishna sent this amazing film. It is still in the movies, and it is there available in the movie theaters in America and in London and so on. It's not yet released on DVD, but there was one small time window for 1.5 hours when I could see it, and then it is no longer there available on the internet. So good. Krishna, 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 Krishna. It's very powerful. If you decide to change your life to the better and you sincerely take small actions in your life, then Krishna reciprocates and helps you. Ultimately, my dear devotees, it always has been, it always is, and it always will be divine grace which helps you. You feel like this, no? Yeah, yeah. But don't clap that you say, "Oh, that makes my life easy. I just wait until the divine grace comes." You, oh yeah, my effort is not required. No, no. By your effort, you must show Krishna that you really want it. The transformation of the heart. We also described to you that in the ancient times, the transformation of the heart was done through a particular process. Remember that beautiful verse which you heard yesterday from Hari Bhakti Vilas, where we heard, "As ordinary copper, when mixed with mercury, can be transformed into gold by a certain process. A person, even though not golden pure, can be transformed into a Dvija Brahmana, a twice born, simply by the initiation process." And the process is described in ancient scriptures to have five elements. Urdhva Pundra, that's a path as it is revealed by a tradition that goes upwards, austerities which you must take on while you are moving forward on this path, sacrifice, the chanting of the holy name, and the chanting of your mantra. This must be done, then all this together works on your consciousness. Now we had told you that in this time and age, the whole Shakti, all the energies which are usually there in these processes, which the Lord has invested in tapa, in yajna, in mantras, and in, you know, these sacrifices, all these energies have been placed by Him at a certain place. What was that place? The holy name together with other devotees. Today, when I heard this, when I really saw Prabhupada appearing, reappearing in my life, he said, "You must chant with attention and devotion." No? That we have all heard. It's not just that I'm saying in my seminars, this is authorized, with attention and devotion. Good. This is a little summary of yesterday. I would now like to ask you the question, what exactly is transformed when we go into spiritual life?
Our attitude.
Mm-hmm. Our body is transformed.
Consciousness.
Our consciousness is transformed. Our heart is transformed. Our relationship, sambandha with Krishna. Character is transformed. You are like a group of expert hunters who are hunting, you're coming close, very, very close. It is very nice to see. It is the concept of I and mine which is to be closed, which is to be changed. This is what it means to transform the heart. The concept of I, you're no longer thinking I'm the body, you think I'm the soul, and you no longer think these different things which belong to the body, my hair, my looks, my car is mine. You begin to think, Krishna is mine, I'm part of Krishna. This happens as you go into the transformation process. You have to watch this to see if it is really working. I think some of the devotees think when we speak about transformation, the hairstyle has to be transformed. the tzika and the externals have to be transformed. But no, it's the heart which is the residence of the ego. The I and the mind have to be transformed very nicely. At the beginning, when you start your spiritual life, you're still quite identified with your body and with material goals. But today, I saw Srila Prabhupada in his last days with us, and I was really, really, really amazed how he spoke and how he was thinking. He was not at all disturbed by the, by how his body entered more and more the dysfunctional state. But he said he was sitting there, his body was weak, and he was speaking about that he is, that life is eternal. Now I still remember my last darshan of Srila Prabhupada. It was in London, and we belonged to the Sankirtan group, and we were very, there was a lot of mercy, and we distributed many, many books, and a special darshan was arranged for the leading Sankirtan devotees in Germany. When we came into his room, when Prabhupada looked extremely emaciated, he had to be carried by that time on a chair which had handles, and he was carried by this makeshift palanquin. And I remember we were extremely shocked to see him. All of us went like into the room. Somehow we hadn't seen pictures or many pictures of Prabhupada. And there was our beloved spiritual master, the embodiment of compassion and love for us. And he had sunglasses on his eyes because they had become very sensitive to light, and he was very emaciated, very thin. And I was so shocked. Imagine my dhoti, which I know I really had really tied it very firmly, it loosened and it was slipping. Somehow Krishna gave me the presence of mind to catch it and rebind it. Very shocked, in other words, we all were. And the Prabhupada saw that and he looked at us. There was a long moment of silence. Then he said, "So," a long drawn out "so." "So, have you understood our philosophy?" It was clear he wanted to have answers to this question. And different devotees tried. They said, "Well, Savadamang Parijacha, give up everything, surrender unto me," says Krishna. Others said, "Yare deko tare kaha Krishna upadesh," whomsoever you meet, tell him about Krishna conscious matters. Like this. And Prabhupada grew a little impatient. There were many answers, but he did not agree to them. He said, "What is that Krishna upadesh?" He said it in a weak voice. "What is that Krishna Upadesh? What is the instruction of Krishna?" And then we became silent, like we always became when we had exhausted our, let me say, always poor fund of knowledge in front of him. He had often done this by asking us a question and he wanted to see what we understood. And then he gave the answer. "First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal." Very profound, Gokulananda, isn't it? Very profound. He was speaking with as someone who had already placed one foot into eternity. He would be going. It was clear. "First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal." My dear devotees, Prabhupada was consistent in his preaching and in his own example and realization. From the first moment he ever spoke to us, to the last moment. And then we saw this in this wonderful movie, the example of the total purity which he had obtained. He was lying on his back, but he was still dictating his Bhaktivedanta purpose, I believe up to a few days before his departure, isn't it, Shruti? Few days he was still doing. And on this movie, what we could see is this one thing. He said, "Everything and everyone moves under the full control of Krishna." This understanding, this consciousness, that is Krishna consciousness. This is what he said. Again, a very, very profound thing, which makes us immediate, which showed us that he was not afraid. He indicated everything and everyone is moving under the control of Krishna. It is fully all right. No? There's nothing to worry, nothing to object. Everything unfolds just the way it should, because Krishna is behind it. So here you see an example of what it means to totally transform the concept of I, which is normally invested into the body, and mine, that is my plan and my life, which is also related to the body. This example we can see in our glorious Srila Prabhupada, who said always, I'm not the body. First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. And second of all, Krishna's plan, Krishna's mind, everything moves under his full control. This is what we need to arrive at finally when we go through the art of transformation. In this regard, I remember the death of Socrates as it is explained by his disciple Platon. Socrates had come into trouble with the government of Athens because he told the young people that the goal of life is not to engage in power struggles and engage in wars and make the Greeks the most influential people of the ancient times, of the times. No, he said the goal of life is self-realization. And for this preaching, he was imprisoned and he was judged to take a cup of poison. So it's described how the man came in to Socrates and handed him the poison, the cup of poison, and his disciples, his students, were there and they cried, and then Socrates said, for a philosopher, the death of this body is not problematic. It means the release of his soul. Finally, he can experience the absolute truth as it is. Then he asked the man who brought the poison, how should I drink it and what is to be expected? And the man said, you drink the poison, you move 50 steps up and down in the cell, and then you lay down, and first your feet will become cold, and then your legs, then the belly, and then when it comes to your heart, you will die. And then he cried, you are the only good man I have ever seen. Here is the cup of poison. So then his student spoke up and said, Socrates, what should we do with you when you are gone? And Socrates very joyfully said, first of all, catch me before you speak of what you should do with me. He was speaking about the eternal soul. I remember that Srila Prabhupada had given in one of his lectures this sentence, first of all catch me, then speak of what you will do with me. So you can see these are examples of self-realized soul who have changed the concept of aham and mameti. And now the question which I would like to ask you, how can you change your identity and also your desires? My dear devotees, this is only possible when a strong agent, a strong transforming agent comes into your life, contacts you and changes you, just like in this example where ordinary metal is changed. So these very, very, very powerful agents, I would like to introduce three agents, and then I want to make an exercise with you where you come in contact with one of these agents. The first, and Prabhupada always stressed, is you need to look out for the proper association. Even in motivational courses, self-improvement courses, it is said, if you want to attain to a higher level, associate with those who are already on this level. So it's very, very important that you look out for exalted association. Now I remember when my exalted God brother Shruti Kirti and myself joined a group of very determined devotees. These devotees wanted to make a nice offering and a sacrifice by circumambulating the Govardhan mountain. I will not tell you exactly how, but it was not easy. And both of us thought, let's go with them for one day. Why not? We are not dead yet. We will also try this. These were very determined devotees, very good devotees. And as we entered their association, we found ourselves lifted in their association and performed for 2 weeks austerities which probably we would not have performed without this association. Most probably not. So, for sure not. Yes. And not me also. So good association really works in magical ways. Look for good association. Just like today, I think you can see, I saw Prabhupada. I heard him. And I'm more inspired than I ever was since many years in my life. It works very, very, very powerful on the consciousness. The second, this is how it is started. Because, my dear devotees, in association, something is born which you absolutely need if you want to transform your heart. And that is faith. It can be done, it will be done, it should be done, it must be done. This Shraddha is not ordinary Shraddha, which is called Shraddha in worldly things. This Shraddha which we are looking for is Alokika Shraddha. Alokika means not worldly, otherworldly faith. And that only comes from the heart of good devotees into your own heart. Otherwise, you do not get it. Hare Krishna. Second is, have every day a powerful infusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam in your consciousness. By reading every day the words of the Bhagavatam, something will happen and change in your consciousness. The Padma Purana says, any place where regularly, every day, the Bhagavatam is recited, even though it may only be half a verse, becomes a holy place. Holy place means two energies are there. The Taraka Shakti and the Paraka Shakti. What does this mean? Taraka means it liberates you from your karmic reaction, and Paraka means it attracts you to Krishna. Any place, and I take it this means Hillsborough in Southeast Carolina, or where are we?
Where?
North Carolina, even better. You know, where we chant this every day at home will become a very, very nice place. And the last thing which I want to recommend to you is chant the holy name, but make sure that you chant with attention and devotion. Two things. Most of us chant without attention, and there is also not at least very impressive devotion at the time when we chant. In the scriptures, various scriptures, including the Bhagavatam, the chanting process is compared with archery. And I believe if we just look at the example or the analogy, we will get all the necessary information. Dear boys, now please listen very carefully. Archery, do you know what is archery? Shooting arrows with what?
A bow.
Yes, you know everything. So now you please listen carefully so that you learn something new. In the scriptures it is said the bow is the mantra. The arrow is the purified living entity. That is you who is not the body, but who's a soul. It's a part and parcel of Krishna. And the target is the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So when you, Pandava Sena's everywhere, when you want to shoot an arrow and you wish to make sure that it reaches the target, you need to do something. You need to, first of all, focus your attention on the target. It's really magical when you are a bow shooter. I know this from my own practice. You need to first learn, okay, where's the target? You need to really focus your consciousness. And then somehow the body aligns itself after some time. The next thing is you must, draw the bow backwards with all your strengths. And finally, you must then let go of the arrow and entrust it to the power of the bow. In the same way, when you chant, you must first of all focus all of your attention and your devotion on Radha and Krishna. My dear Radha and Krishna, for so long I have completely forgotten you. Please accept me. Then you have to make some effort. The effort is you must concentrate and chant the mantra with concentration. Whenever you see your mind is going away from the mantra, bring it back. And finally, you must surrender, let go, and let the holy names do everything. Let the mercy of the holy name take over your life and bring you to Krishna. Would you like to try this?
Yes.
Gokulananda, we would like to try. I want to now invite you to this powerful process of transformation by inviting the transformative agent of the holy name into your consciousness. But as Prabhupada recommended, it must be done with attention and devotion. I will try to tune you in. First of all, please sit straight. Let us center a little bit ourselves, most properly. You had a busy day. You had so many things happening. Now you're in the temple. Please look a little around to just appreciate the surrounding of this temple where so many devotees have come and offered their devotional service. It's a creation really by Srila Prabhupada's desire. We are now so fortunate to respond and be here. We will together engage in the chanting of the holy name, and we will do this for the pleasure of the deities Sri Sri Radha Golokananda. Our chanting will be a loving offering to them. We will, in other words, turn to them in prayer. I'm your sincere servant. Please accept me. Yeah? So when you're ready, close your eyes, please. In your mind's eye, now focus on Radha and Krishna, Radha Golokananda, either as they are standing on the altar or as you remember them. Attention is something which happens in the mind, not so much in the eyes. In reality, our need is only Radha and Krishna, because we are their eternal part and parcels. And by chanting their divine names, we are sincerely requesting them to lift us up from this ocean of birth and death, and again take us back to their divine shelter. Attention and devotion. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare, everybody, Hare Krishna. Dear devotees, if you can increase these chantings either in kirtan or in japa by saying goodbye to your absent-minded tendency, then this mantra can very swiftly carry you to where you actually want to be. But I have found out that my most difficult audience are the Hare Krishna people. And I will tell you why. It is because we are doing the process since many, many years, but we are doing it not always with full attention and devotion. And therefore, the results are not there. But since we already do it so long, it is very difficult for us to do it in a new way. Srila Prabhupada used to give an example of a music school in Vienna, where the playing of piano was learned. I sense that one of our members is a little absent-minded. Is that true? If you are a parent, please take the child and give the child sufficient engagement and fresh air. Be kind to your parents and to your children. So someone came to this very prestigious music school, a very, very well known musicians came and said, I want to enroll in the courses here. I'm already giving my own concerts. So the teacher said to him, oh, you will have to pay double the fee. Why? I'm already really almost perfect. And he said, no, first we have to unlearn you everything, and then we can teach. So sometimes when we are for a long time in a spiritual process, it may be necessary that we unlearn our mechanic habits, our old habits, which are not serving us any longer at very well at the present stage. I would like to end my little presentation this evening by telling you one of my most admired and worshipable transformation story. There was once a couple who lived in Bengal who had a very unfortunate family situation. Two of their sons died a little bit right after the birth. And this couple decided, when the third son was born, to call him Dukhi, the miserable. They thought, if we call him the miserable one, then Yamaraj will spare him. Why should Yamaraj go to someone who's miserable? In this way, this boy grew up. Imagine you have a name, the miserable one. That is quite something, you know. So he grew up, and the parents then died also. But before they died, they said, we wish you now to take initiation. And Dukhi decided, well, I will go to the great soul, Hriday Chaitanya, and beg him for initiation. So Hriday Chaitanya accepted him and renamed him Dukhi Krishna Das, the miserable servant of Krishna. it's my Krishna. It is quite a name. But in a way, it is also a good name, because, yes, we are all miserable in this material world. Confirmed. So, after some time, Hriday Chaitanya decided to send his disciple, who was exceptionally talented. He learned all the Vedic scriptures by heart. He was really a very humble soul, a good kirtan singer, everything. He decided, let me send him to Vrindavan so that he can learn the Shastra from the great master of the scriptures in our philosophy. Who is the most prominent philosopher in Jiva Goswami? Yes. Do you know any of his books? Yeah, you know, I mean, what is inside? Yeah, you know and you do not know. See, you are typical of what I'm expressing. So, Jiva Goswami had him study the scriptures and he trained him really nice, but then he gave him also a devotional service. Every morning, early in the morning, of course the sun had risen already, this Dukhi Krishna was sent to one part of Vrindavan. It's called Seva Kunj, where he was taking a jaru, a broom, and Harishyam, maybe you can help me. It's, I think, is this a katru? It's a little metal thing like this. Metal, it's like a plate, but you can just put the dirt on there. A dustbin, yeah. Yeah, a dust, again, pen, yeah. And garbage can also. So, can. Pen. Oh, very, you know, everything. So one morning he was sweeping the area, and in Seva Kunj, every evening or every night there is the celebrated Rasa dance. And as he was sweeping, he saw all of a sudden a golden bracelet. Is bracelet what it's? Anklet, thank you, with bluish sapphires on it. It emanated such a great emanation of rays, and it looked totally out of this world. So Dukhi Krishna Das took this anklet and he placed it on his heart, and he felt so sublime,
in Krishna consciousness that he concluded this must be the anklet of Srimati Radharani. Yes. A little later, Lalita, who was looking for that anklet, she had been sent by Radharani to find it so that the in-laws would not notice that the anklet was missing, precious anklet. She came there and she looked around and she saw the simple monk holding the anklet on the heart and relishing sublime states of Krishna consciousness. And she decided to change her form and took the form of an elderly woman and said, my mistress is missing an anklet. Have you by chance... No, my daughter, she said. My daughter is missing an anklet. Have you found it? It's gold and it has blue sapphires in it. Dukhi Krishna Das decided, I will only give this anklet to Srimati Radharani personally. So he asked, where does your daughter live and where do you live? And the elderly lady was clearly a little, she gave some village name. And when the village name was given, Dukhi Krishna said, there are only poor people living in this village. There's no one who has such an anchor. Who are you? And who is the one who owns this anklet? Lalita was in a problematic situation. She said, okay, come along with me. And she brought Dukhi Krishna to Lalita Kund, which is right there in Seva Kund, and said, you take your bath now. And Dukhi Krishna, something is happening, went into the Kund. And when he came out, he had transformed. He had taken on his original spiritual identity as Kanaka Manjari. She felt divine ecstasy. And when she now looked around, she saw Lalita in her splendor and said, only with transcendental eyes can you see me. Now you can come with me and give that anklet to Srimati Radharani. And she, Kanaka Manjari went there carrying the anklet and saw after some time on a beautiful golden throne Srimati Radharani. There was a halo of light around her. She was resplendent, really a devi, and her eyes were full of compassion, and she said, please give me my anklet. And Kanaka Manjari came close by and handed the anklet to Radharani. Radharani said, I would now like to reciprocate your service. And from her heart manifested a golden form of Krishna, a deity. And she gave that deity to Lalita, and Lalita gave it to this fortunate soul. Take this and know that from now on your name is Syamananda. Syam is Syama, not Syam, but Syama. Syama. Nanda means he who has given great pleasure to Radharani. And then Radharani took personally that anklet and imprinted it here on the forehead so that the there was an imprint, a new tilak was formed. And Lalita wrote with her own feet, with the dust of Vrindavan, Shyamananda, on the chest of this very fortunate Vaishnava. Yes, in this way, the transcendental transformation of identity, the transcendental transformation of the body had taken full shape. This deity can still be watched in the Syam Sunda, Radha Syam Sunda Mandir. It is a lane, a tiny lane off Loi Bazaar, where most of you are frequently present. And you can find this little lane which is indicating the transformation of identity. You can still see, and also that little dustpan was transformed into a golden dustpan. Very full transformation. My dear devotees, transformation is possible, but it will be possible for you only if you sincerely want it. Once Srila Prabhupada delivered a lecture in Hamburg, and one student asked him, how long does it take to come to full Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada said, it could happen in 1 second, but it may not happen after 1,000,000 years. It depends how serious you take the process. It depends on your sincerity. What do you think, Babish? Makes sense, isn't it? It really depends on us. So my humble desire was to give you some idea of transformation, what it could mean. I am very much enthusiastic to build, not to work on a full seminar and full presentation. Gaur Krishna had just downloaded 22 lectures from Ravindra Swarup about the cure of the soul, where I hope to find much information about this subject matter. And when I come back, hopefully, if Aditi Narayan and Ratna Radhika will invite me again, then I will come back, then I can tell you much more, and maybe I'm a little bit more transformed also. That would be good. So, Hare Krishna. The essence of today's class was, if you want transformation to happen in your life, you need a strong transformative agent. Just like if you want to make ordinary metal into gold, you require a very strong alchemical process which works on the metal and then reorganizes the molecules in a new way. So if you think strongly of, if you want to transform your life, you will need to take full shelter on such a spiritual process. You will need to learn it properly and learn all the different statements and injunctions which the great acharyas have given to this. I'm always saying to the devotees who say they want to go deeper in their Krishna consciousness, say, you must become a scientist of the holy name. You must become, you must study this and learn how to do everything nicely. I think in this community we find many nice devotees who are very eager to do this. Also, I have a very easy way of transformation. I will ask now Aditi Narayan to go around. This is holy water from 1,008 holy rivers, holy places. It was collected. And by taking it in the months of Purushottam, then it is very, very effective. So we will do a little bit more kirtan And should we maybe turn to the towards the deities? Oh yeah, maybe we take some questions, then we all turn to the deities, and then Aditi Narayan gives us a sacred bath by taking the water and cultivating us like a plant. Hare Krishna. How do you like this idea? Good. So, your good questions. I see one devotee in the back. Yes, we will bring the microphone to you, then everyone can hear your question easily.
Anyway, I was thinking about what you said about, you know, the holy name requires a lot of attention. I was thinking about it, even some just ordinary or seems mundane, like, you know, tying your shoes, that too requires a lot of attention. A lot of things we don't necessarily think, oh, that's so important, are actually important.
Yeah. There was once one very nice devotee who gave a lecture. It was called Attention, Attention, Attention. And he had some exercises for us, which showed us how important it is to show attention. I do not know. I didn't ask you to, but did you bring the computer? Yeah, I will make an exercise with you to find out how good your attention works. Would you like to do this?
Yes.
It might be embarrassing. While we set it up, the experiment, we will ask another question. Yes? Hare Krishna.
Want to follow this process. But as time goes on and as we get farther from this day, our enthusiasm slackens. And how do we maintain that enthusiasm?
A wonderful question. Wonderful question. Yes, yes, yes. I think what you asked is in the interest of everyone and in the experience of everyone. How many of us have gone to inspiring festivals, have heard a lecture where we really thought, wow, now I know it, now I will do it. And with time, this enthusiasm has waned and has gone. I would like to offer three things that can help you to maintain this enthusiasm. First is, when you go to such a program where you are inspired, you must take with you a little praxis which is doable, and do that every day. If you come to an inspiring event and you don't follow up on it by acting upon your newfound inspiration, it will wane for sure. It's just like if you are fed once, but then you don't eat again, after some time you will be the same hungry as you were. So the small actions. Then the next is you must go into good association and have inspiring association which inspires you for spiritual activities, for your spiritual life. This is very, very good, very necessary. There is a lot of potency in powerful association. When maybe
this association cannot be had in your maybe not your immediate next door neighbor. So you might phone someone who is, or you might listen to good lectures of someone who is highly inspiring for you. And the third thing I would suggest is do some service. By doing service to devotees, taste will develop in your heart. If you do not do any service and just sit in your, at home, or you just take care of your family, as you, that's certainly also a service when you do it in Krishna consciousness. But I'm speaking of service like going to the temple and doing the simple services which are required. That gives taste. The Bhagavatam asks this question. The Bhagavatam says, Vasudeva Kata Ruchi, the ruchi, the taste in Krishna Kata comes only by serving devotees. Someone who serves well has a good taste, I have seen. But that doesn't mean that you should only serve and not read and so on and so forth. But a balanced thing. These three things I would love to recommend to you. Are you ready for your attention test, Hrishikesh? We will make a test now with everyone. I will give you a sign. My dear devotees, I will now show you a simple sequence of numbers, and my question is, can you find the mistake? Okay, we can cover it up again. Where was the mistake? There were two what? Oh, you are so intelligent. What else is a mistake? No, where was the mistake is the question.
Five was bold.
What else? What is the mistake is the question. What? No, don't know. Yes. Come on, only three people have seen a mistake. No mistake. No mistake. You are a pure soul who doesn't see faults. Our young Mataji has found the mistake. Look again. Can you find the mistake? In the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, there is no mistake. You can also go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or whatever. But because our attention was fixed on the numbers, we think some calculation problem maybe. Only one little child. Who else saw? Only our little, good name? Your good name?
Kiona.
Kiona. But you knew this before, no? Good. I mean, I will soon take this out of my repertoire, because in America everyone finds the there's always one who finds it. In Europe, no one fights. The idea is, we are fixed with our attention on one thing, and therefore we overlook the other. And that is the problem with chanting. We can't put our attention to Krishna. Therefore, we are
with our attention all over the material universe. I thank you, Hari Siam, for your wonderful showing. Next time we can even take out the enter search text and all the interesting logos which are not important for the audience. But it shows the ability of your computer, that is. Mm-hmm. One more question. Yes. We will just switch it on. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes.
Yesterday when you mentioned having your head on the anvil and God has the hammer ready to help you surrender, that's a difficult process. So I'm assuming today you mentioned giving up the I and the mind, and I think that's what you're talking about for the main part of the surrender process. I mean, I don't think we're all supposed to give up everything we own and leave our family and surrender everything we know. Mm. It's just giving up that
the ego, yeah.
Identity. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a false identity, really, which is giving us so much problem. This misplaced identity. You know, we are eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, but when we misidentify, we identify with a temporary material body, which is not full of bliss, but full of miseries and full of ignorance also. How can we, and we have to reclaim our misplaced identity and put it into the reality again. And that is the whole process of spiritual life. Therefore, Prabhupada would always make it clear to us that that the beginning really of a real spiritual life is of an understanding, I am not the body, I am an eternal soul. Not there it starts. Without this first step, we are missing really the fundament. And if you are not the body, if you have the right understanding, it doesn't mean that you have to now sell your apartment or your comfortable camper or whatever, or you forget your learning, but you put it on the proper basis, the proper fundament of reality. Yeah? So you engage it in Krishna's service. Hare Krishna. So I think time is also there, no? Oh, we are good in time. We can just sing maybe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I think so. That would be my dream.
Our satsanga is 5 days. Thanks to you. come back requesting you, and every time you come, it's very in line for our community, and it does take our spiritual life to a next higher level. So thank you so much, and gratitude to you.
I am not yet gone. I'm here.
Yeah. So now we have the kirtans. The kirtans will be wonderful. So we are going to change our orientation. We are going to face the